Hey, welcome to season number 2, episode number 22 of Sports Fellowship with Fox and Frank. I'm Dan Fox.
I'm Frank Knight.
Hey, Frank, how are you?
I'm doing really well.
That's good.
A little chilly?
It is. We have, those of you that don't know, we do broadcast from eastern Pennsylvania, and it is cold. It is in the 20s, so you would say that's not all that cold, but the wind just like whips through you and makes you feel like
Victor.
Makes you feel like it's much colder. So Frank and I are here, and as well as our dear friend Jason, aka Hookie Mohorski, the People's Podcaster, the voice of reason. Hey, Hook.
What's up, Dan?
How are you?
Good. I am CPR certified now.
Wow.
So basically a doctor.
Well, don't you have to get first aid and CPR to be basically a doctor?
Yeah, I did both.
Okay.
On that happy note, pass the donuts.
Yeah.
There's only one left.
So, Hook, what caused you to get first aid and CPR certified?
I was told I had to.
Okay, by?
My work.
Okay. Okay.
And now I'm a doctor, so it's like, you know, I can diagnose medical conditions. And
write prescriptions.
Dr. Hookie.
Yeah, I'm sure I can figure that out.
Okay.
How long is that certification good for?
Usually 2 years.
That's what I heard, yeah. And I'm a doctor, so I would know.
Well, I know you're going to find this really hard to believe, the way I look right now and everything, especially the shape of my body. But I used to be a lifeguard, and I used to be thin, you know, and good looking and everything. And I know that lifeguard certification was good for 3 years, and CPR and first aid were good for 2 years, at least at that time.
Okay.
Because I had to get it renewed and stuff to keep my certification.
Well, a lot of stuff has changed in the medical field since then, Dan, but the 2 year thing is still legit.
So now I feel much more comfortable because if I'm ever drowning or have a heart attack and I'm around you guys, nothing to worry about.
We have the option to pass, I believe.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. But no, we would do whatever we needed to frantically, Frank, to be able to resuscitate you and to save your life. We would do whatever it takes.
You know what? Though when it's my time.
Well, some of my skills might be a little old, but I'm sure I could bump off the rust and, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure I could still swim a good distance and hold a weight outside the water and stuff like that. I never actually had to save anyone. I tried to get a couple of kids to... I tried to pay off a couple of kids to impress some girls one time. But the kids, like, weren't very good actors. And so it didn't really go over well.
Bummer.
I tried to get them to pretend that they were drowning so that I could, like, be the hero and, like, go in and, like, save them and stuff to impress the girls. But
wow, that's really pathetic.
They really did. And I thought it was quite clever.
You chose to go for a whole group up front, not just, like, one kid?
No, it was one kid. Like, it was two different incidents with one kid.
Ah, okay.
Well, not the same kid.
Good effort,
times,
Dan.
But
good effort.
I thought it was clever.
It's clever.
And the girls did laugh and stuff, but, you know.
They weren't buying it.
No, they weren't buying that I was saving them, though. So, you know. Oh, well. So, roadmap for where we're going tonight.
Down a dark road.
Well, that was the only excitement I ever had other than learning how to twirl my whistle on all my fingers. I could, like, twirl my whistle and then switch fingers with it and twirl it.
You've had more excitement than that. You've seen the Cowboys win.
No, I'm saying as a lifeguard.
Oh.
That was my biggest excitement as a lifeguard.
Gotcha.
So, you know.
Do you think it's possible anybody drowned and you just didn't know?
No.
Okay.
I do not think that's possible.
That's good for a lifeguard not to have that happen.
Yes, that would not want that on my record.
That would be bad.
So anyway, tonight we're going to talk briefly about the other sports. There's been some movement in baseball. We want to hit the NHL, the NBA briefly. We want to talk about NFL Championship Weekend, take a look back and see and talk about what happened in the two games. And then I've got a very interesting article from Adam Schefter of ESPN, talked about the possibility of more quarterback movement, more franchise quarterback movement than has ever happened in the NFL history. There's a possibility of that movement happening this offseason.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. And then I've got some Super Bowl trivia.
All right.
Super Bowl trivia. See if I can stump you, Hook.
We'll see, but I'm a doctor, so It'll be hard.
It will.
So, a doctor of what?
CPR.
That they have a doctorate of that?
They didn't necessarily say that, like, but I could tell, like, the instructor was, like, super impressed, and he, you know.
Did you cut the face off of the dummy like Dwight?
No, this is COVID era, Dan. You're not supposed to be touching the dummy.
Well, I mean, oh, you weren't even allowed to touch the dummy?
I mean, I did compressions, but I wasn't allowed to put my face on it or anything.
You didn't yell, Annie, are you okay, and call 911? And
Dan, CPR's changed since you were a child.
Really?
Yeah.
They changed it?
It's like one arm now I was doing.
Wait, you don't even have to do two arms?
No, I was doing like one arm for a while.
Okay.
You were, but were you supposed to be?
It seemed like it.
Well, when we
a
did it.
A lot of people were impressed.
When we did it, we had these one-way valve masks that we used on the dummy.
It's good when they're one-way.
So that.
Like, they showed us those masks.
Okay, well, we used those, and we wiped the face with alcohol profusely in between each.
Also use. Had donuts there, too, so I'm really striking gold this week.
It's always important to have donuts when you're doing CPR. Okay.
All right, so heading into this week, Major League Baseball. What are you guys' thoughts on some of the player movement that's happened here? Some of the dominoes have begun to fall.
Well, congratulations on re-signing Realmuto.
Yes, finally.
That's a good signing for the Phillies.
Finally. Like a VCR.
Yeah, the Mets took a pass. You know, they didn't want to pay him what he was asking, I guess.
Yes. JT Realmuto, who the last 3 years has been pretty much known as the best all-around catcher in baseball, was re-signed by my Philadelphia Phillies. The contract's a little rich, but the Phillies have the money, so I'm willing to be hopeful. You know, you say to yourself, he's been on the team the last 2 years and they haven't made the playoffs. But, you know, hopefully they'll be able to surround him with some good pitching.
No, they already have it, right? I mean, so I think it was a good move from that standpoint. I was just going to say that. You know, since you have a staff in place, some pretty high-end guys on your staff, now they have the familiarity. Tough word for me.
Familiarity.
Yes. Familiarity.
With the pitching staff. I think it's a good move for them to re-sign him and spend a little extra.
Yeah, so
he's a good hitter as well.
It is. It's going to be very interesting. It's a 5-year deal, $115 million. Interesting to see how it all works out. Haven't really seen the Yankees doing much, Hook.
Neither have I. Actually,
thoughts on that?
Yeah, they're just doing their thing, whatever it is.
Okay.
Well, they just had a pitcher go back to Japan.
Yeah. Yep.
Tanaka, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's back to Japan.
Brian calls him the Tanka toy.
Yeah.
They were wondering whether they would re-sign him, and he decided to go back, I guess. Well,
that's a long drive, you know.
That is quite a commute.
I feel like that's a bigger loss, or not necessarily?
Oh, definitely not. He stunk.
Well, let's not go there.
Well, I think he was... He wasn't great. Right, he wasn't great, but he was consistent. And he gave you what you could always kind of count on what he gave you.
Yankees have a standard, and it's greatness.
I don't think they're too worried about it.
Through the last 2 years with a lot of injuries, Tanaka was your only consistent pitcher that was able to go out there every 5 days.
That's debatable.
So,
okay. I had to think about their staff a little more, but certainly now they're good.
Well, yeah, so...
But the Mets seem... closer. They traded Steven Matz, who really wasn't much of a pitcher for them at all, and then got three prospects who really aren't highly rated. But the thinking is that they did that to open up money on the team so that they don't go over the
luxury tax,
right? And the question is, they made Bauer an offer, Cincinnati's Bauer, who's the top free agent guy at the moment that's available. And
I thought his name was Eddie.
And they also might sign Jackie Bradley Jr.,
right? Who's all fielder, pretty much all defense, very light hitting.
Yeah, but I tell you, I think they have enough offense on the team. I'd love to see them do that if they don't get Bauer, because it makes them stronger up the middle, and that's important to me. After Lindor and signing McCann, the catcher, I think that Bradley move would be a good move for them if they don't get Bauer. So,
well, I think the Mets should go out and sign one. Brandon Mazzi, who played this past weekend in a semi-pro baseball tournament down in Florida, and he batted .385 for the tournament, had two dingers, played a lot of innings, was out there when a lot of guys were taking rests and stuff. At least this is what was translated to me this morning about the tournament, and that he played pretty well. So well that he's actually been invited to play in tournaments in Atlanta, in Texas, and in California now.
Good
he's
for you, Brandon. Good job.
Been invited. So I think the Met scouting staff needs to be picking up on this rare prospect.
I'll give him a call.
So, yeah.
I'll call my connections and talk to them.
Yeah. All right. NBA. Any thoughts on the NBA? It looks like
they shoot a lot of baskets.
The Lakers have cooled down a little bit. They've lost two in a row.
And great LeBron James.
Come down to earth a little bit.
Mr. Personality.
Yeah. The big three. The big three for Brooklyn put up an awful lot of points, but it didn't translate into wins.
I know the Knicks are still middle of the road.
Which is better than what they've been.
Yeah, they're eighth in the conference at the moment. I saw out of 16 teams. So it's a very complicated system for the playoffs in basketball. I don't even understand it, to be honest.
The top eight make it.
Yeah, there's all kinds of other things involved with it, though. I was reading about it on the internet today.
Okay.
About who plays who in that aspect is what I'm saying. So.
Yeah. So, there's been some exciting basketball happening. It looks like the LA Clippers are starting to put some stuff together. The Utah Jazz are playing some good ball. I like the Dallas Mavericks. I think they're putting together a nice team down there.
It's funny you say the Jazz. The Knicks were killing them by halftime the other night. I was just flipping around, and I saw that they were killing them. Oh, all right. The Knicks are beating a pretty decent team. They ended up losing the game by like 12 or 13 points. So
yeah.
That's the Knicks, right? That's who they are now.
Yeah, the Utah Jazz and the Denver Nuggets are two teams that can beat pretty much anybody on any given night. But, whether or not they're going, they're tired or whether they're playing back-to-backs or whatever. So they're going to be two teams that are going to be really interesting to see play in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But Houston has taken a huge step back. They are pretty much a dismal of a team in the NBA there. Right. My Sixers are somewhat unwatchable for me.
They're always unwatchable for me.
They just don't play a nice style of basketball, so I just really don't enjoy watching that.
Well, maybe I'll start watching, because I like when the Philly teams lose. So.
Okay. Hook, how are the Flames doing in college basketball? The Liberty University Flames?
Probably good, probably, yeah.
Okay. They looked, last time I checked, they were on track to be one of the teams that hopefully gets invited to the tournament.
I don't think it's just a invitation thing.
No, it's not.
I think you have to win a certain amount of games.
Well, you do, but...
What, am I talking to Rich here? Jeez.
No, but certain teams do get invited, Hook. It is an invitation thing.
Yeah.
You don't win your conference, you can get an invitation. You can get cordially, an at-large.
Cordially invited to the tournament?
You can get an at-large bid to the tournament.
Date. You get a beautiful little card with the silver around the outside edge.
Save the date. End of March.
You are invited, yes. You know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
We
I'll
know
check
what you're
on
talking
it,
about, Dan.
I'll check on it, Dan.
We get it.
So anyway, excited about the Flames, and they have a pretty nice little team down there in Lynchburg, and so I'll have to check in with our basketball correspondent, one Jeff Fields, even though he's in Michigan. He follows the Flames very, very closely.
Is Bettino coaching actively right
he
now?
He is. He's
Where
coaching
is he?
Iona.
Okay, I'm an Iona fan now.
I
follow
Iona.
Bettino.
So,
ever since he was the Knicks coach, I kind of... always keep an eye on his teams because I like his approach with defense.
He was
I'm always about defense.
Three-quarter court defensive team. Yeah. Moving into the NHL, Hook, do you have any strong feelings about the gentlemen on the ice?
Well, I bet they're cold.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they skate around and they do what they do, they start to sweat and they get hot.
Yeah, it's possible.
Okay. Frank, tell us about your Rangers.
Yeah, so I got it. I took some notes today. I wanted to just to see exactly what the numbers were. And, they've had a rough start, but a few teams in the East, the better teams, have had a rough start too. But they're right now, the Rangers are 2-4, right, in six games. And they're going to play 56 games in the season this year. And they've lost some close ones. After losing 4-0 and then winning 5-0, against the Islanders, they lost 4-3, 3-2, and 3-2 to the Devils, Penguins, and Sabres then they beat the Sabres 3-2. So my point being, they're a young team with a lot of some good veterans mixed in. They're losing a lot of close games. So I feel like they're going to make a run at some point. And right now they're dead last in the standings. So, but, you know, there's to get make the playoffs, they're only about 4 points out.
So okay.
I feel like they can compete.
Well, you're
playing the same teams over and over again is right. The way it's set up. So.
Well, Hoop, the Flyers just swept your New Jersey Devils. So any strong feelings about that?
No, not at all.
Okay. Just wondering. You know,
I mean, they still serve food at the arena, right?
In between, before the game and in between periods, yeah. Yes.
So I was going to say there's 8 teams in their you know, standing in their division, and 4 of them make the playoffs. So since they're only, 4 out from the Penguins.
I'm not sure that's right this year. Because
that's what I read.
Yeah, okay. Because it's different this year because of the division.
I read for 2021, yeah.
Okay.
It said the top 4 in each division will make the playoffs.
Okay.
And then later in the playoffs, they scramble the standings. So teams that virtually in the same conference can play each other in the finals. That's how it'll work out.
Okay.
All because of COVID aspect and
trying to limit travel and contact tracing.
So anyway, but right now the Flyers are fourth. They're tied for third, really. But and they have 11 points. I'm sorry, that's wrong. The Penguins have 9. So the Rangers are only 4 out at the moment, 4 points out. So my point being, I'm feeling that they can compete. It's going to be tight. Forget the Rangers. It's hard to predict right now.
The Flyers are dealing with some injuries right now. They had a couple guys go down in both of the Boston games. They had some significant injuries when the Flyers played up in Boston for 2 games. And so they're trying to kind of limp their way through.
They're right there. They're 2 out of first.
So. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can get some of those players back. They lost their first line center, Couturier, and one of their stud defensemen, Myers. And so it's going to be very interesting.
I was excited. The game the other day the Rangers played against the Sabres, Lafreniere had the game winner.
Yes.
So that was his moment.
Yeah. And I believe the Flyers play the Islanders next, and then after that they play the Rangers. So Frank
looking
and I are going head to head.
That's right.
So
gonna duke it out.
Gonna get flyered up.
That's right. No, I'm not. You are.
Yeah, I totally am getting flyered up. All right. So at this point, we are going to do an early transition. And when I do that, I'm going to turn it over to my friend Frank.
Okay. We hold this podcast at the Fox Alarm Warehouse. Within that warehouse, they have given us the opportunity to record our podcast in this palatial studio. And it is palatial. I'm here to tell you. Fox Alarms is a family-run business. They do burglar and fire alarms, and you need to protect yourself. So 48 years of business. They're family-run, like I said. So for all your burglar and fire alarm needs, you want to go to www.foxbrothersalarms.com. www.foxbrothersalarms.com. Or you can give them a call, and you can call 1-800-FOX-BROS. And when you do that, you ask for
Mark.
So ask for Mark when you call. So again, 1-800-FOX-BROS. Also, we want to let you know that we have a email where you can reach us and pretty much ask us any questions, maybe trivia or whatever the case may be, like Dan's going to do trivia tonight. We'd love to hear from you.
Medical questions?
Yeah, sure.
CPR related.
Dr. Hookie.
Lifeguard training related.
Yeah, so the email.
Child rearing, whatever.
The email is sportswithfoxandfrank@gmail.com. sportswithfoxandfrank@gmail.com. And one more thing, we're also on Facebook. And as I always say, everything about our show is on the Facebook page, including the podcasts themselves. You just go onto Facebook, punch in Sports Fellowship with Fox and Frank, and it'll come up.
Rich, did we get any emails tonight?
No emails.
No emails? Not even from your sister?
No, not from my sister.
Did you send her a picture of Dan yet?
No.
Is she still
No wonder we didn't get any
hospital.
Emails from her.
She's good.
You can probably check her charts for her.
Because you're a doctor now.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
I mean, like, nowadays, it seems like everybody's becoming a doctor, you know? They're calling everybody doctor, you know, honorary doctor or whatever. So it's not that far-fetched to think Hookie's a doctor.
I was talking with one of the professors from the ESU that I had a long time ago when I went back to get my teaching certification.
Dr. Phil.
Teaching certification. And he is, he and I were talking, and he was suggesting that I go and go and get my PhD so I'd be Dr. Fox. And I said that I appreciate his sentiment, and I appreciate that he believes in me enough, but I have no interest in becoming.
I'd love to call you Doc. I'm going to call start calling Hookie Doc, I think.
That's fine.
Yeah.
All out.
Speaking of doctors and Dr. Phil, I do a great Dr. Phil impression.
That dog won't hunt.
You don't know it, but you're arrogant. It's my Dr. Phil.
I'm offended.
I like Dr. Phil's show, to be honest with you. I know that's kind of weird. Some people like really don't like him, yeah. But I can't watch that show because it makes me sad that some of these people have so many, they've been so blessed with like wonderful families and stuff, and they just take it so for granted and are so selfish.
I shouldn't say this, but the part of the show that annoys me the most is when he walks off and then he meets up with his wife and grabs her hand and walks off like, oh, we're just such the happy couple. Look at us. Like they never have an argument or anything. So just for some reason, it rubs me the wrong way.
I understand. But I just...
he's all right, though.
I like the show. I like his approach and the way he's kind of a straight shooter with the people. But it does make me sad when I see how blessed some of these people are and they don't realize it.
But, I'm going to walk off the show and hold my wife's hand so everybody knows we're happy.
Oh, Hook, did you see that they're coming out with a new version of Teen Mom? Have you been watching it?
I mean, I haven't been watching it, but boy.
Okay. Because I know Hook was a huge fan of Teen Mom 2.
Haven't seen the
Teen Mom
one.
2 is on Netflix for anybody trying to catch up from the beginning.
I'd have to really catch up.
Okay. So, I saw that there's a new version. It's most of the girls from Teen Mom 2. That on the new show? No?
It's Teen Mom OG. It's the original Teen Mom cast.
Okay.
This show.
I knew it was some of the older young ladies from the show.
Older what does young OG ladies? Stand for?
Original Gangsters.
Oh, original Gangsters, right.
Or Olive Garden.
Well, I'm just saying, I saw the commercial and I thought of you. Because you're into Teen Mom.
Okay. I haven't been to Olive Garden in a long time.
Hook, how has The Bachelor been going?
I don't know. The Bachelor doesn't start till after football's totally over.
Well, what's on now? Is it The Bachelorette?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't watch that?
Dan, I'm a busy man now that I'm a doctor.
You know, somebody called one of the talk shows today about The Bachelor and said they should have a Bachelor episode or series with older people, like 60 or over or something like that The Bachelorette is 60.
Dan!
Yeah, and I was thought of you right away, Dan.
That would be great.
What about you?
Not that age, necessarily.
What about you, Frank?
I'm older than you. I know.
So, I mean, you're single?
I don't think I'm...
And ready to mingle?
I don't think I'm that in demand, so... But you, a different story.
All right, so we want to take a look back and reflect on NFL Championship Weekend. So, Frank, let's walk through the games.
All right. So, 3 o'clock on Sunday, we had Tampa Bay playing Green Bay. Green Bay was a 3-point favorite. And Tampa Bay pulls the upset. They win the game.
Though they tried to give the game back in the second half.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, Brady had his moments. Tell us what you think.
I thought that Tampa played pretty much a flawless first half, and much like the Hail Murray play, I didn't understand the situation with the Jets when they blitzed and left their corners on an island against the Raiders receivers. I didn't understand what the DB for Green Bay was doing, letting that guy get behind him, number one. And then number two, I didn't understand the defense, why they didn't have two safeties back there. Because they only had a single high safety, and he shaded over to the other side of the field where there were several Green Bay receivers over there running patterns, and he left the corner on an island one-on-one, and he got toasted. And
by the fastest man in the NFL.
Alleged.
We were talking about it before the show. Scotty Miller claims to be the fastest.
Yes, he does claim that. So, I didn't understand that defense, and that ended up being 7 very important points that they scored there right before the half.
What do you think, Hook?
The realization I came to is I think Green Bay is 2 great quarterbacks away from being the Browns. They seem to have a tremendous amount of dysfunction. They don't typically ever have a stacked team. And to look back over the past 30 years with two great Hall of Fame quarterbacks and to think you got two Super Bowls out of that, I think that's what we see with the Chiefs. And even when Tom Brady was with the Patriots a little bit, you have to put pieces around people to make them successful. And Green Bay just keeps winging it, and these quarterbacks, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, have been like giant Band-Aids over the organization. And there's a lot of people that look at Green Bay as a great team, and I think they were my preseason Super Bowl pick, so I could be one of those at some point here. But looking at it now from this angle, it just seems like they got lucky with two quarterbacks falling to them. And that's pretty much all the success their ownership has had over the past however many years.
Well, I was surprised because, you know, normally Aaron Rodgers, when given the opportunity, brings the team back and, you know, overcomes a lot of things, and especially the way Tom Brady threw three interceptions in the second half in several big spots and put the Green Bay in position to either tie the game or go ahead. And I was honestly taken aback that Aaron Rodgers wasn't able to get that done. Two times in the red zone, he wasn't able to get it done.
The thing about the interceptions, though, was, I don't know if it was all three, but at least two of them, it was deep in Green Bay's territory. So it's not the best thing to throw the interception, granted, but at least you had him pinned, right? So it wasn't the worst thing in the world. The thing about the play at halftime, right before halftime, is I think my feeling at the time is what I was thinking was Green Bay is expecting them to just run a quick out or something and try to get a few more yards for a field goal, and were taken by surprise at the fact that they threw the bomb, you know. And I think they only threw it because Brady and Miller, you know, saw it coming, that the defender wasn't looking for him to go long, and so he heaved it, and sure enough, Miller was able to outrun him. That's how I saw that play.
Well, number 20 for Green Bay was the guy that Tampa targeted the entire game.
He didn't have a good game.
They targeted him both halves, and he came up pretty small most of the game.
Don't know much about him. He didn't seem like much of a player in that game.
And he was a first-round draft pick by them. You know, being a Cowboys fan and seeing Aaron Rodgers having the ball with any semblance of time on the clock, we even had him starting inside the five a couple times, and he goes right down the field like a hot knife through butter and scores the tie or the go-ahead score. And I was just honestly taken aback that even though he was, you know, in his own territory, he wasn't like inside the 10 or with those interceptions, but he did have a long way to go. And they did manage to get the ball all three times off those turnovers all the way down into the red zone. And they came up small, two field goals and a turnover on downs.
It's true, but Tampa Bay's defense is reasonably good. They're well coached, right, by Bowles. So I feel like, you know, a little different than when they played Dallas back in the day.
Obviously, the big play at the end of the game was Aaron Rodgers with a wide open running lane into the end zone to attempt to tie the game, and he instead threw a ball into double coverage, which had just as much chance to get picked off.
That was very un-Rodgers-like.
Yeah, and that's where you wonder where his mentality was at that point.
I just assume he didn't think he was going to make it, but even if you don't, not that he could necessarily process all this at the moment, you could see it in hindsight. If he doesn't make it, then maybe he's at the two and it's fourth and two. And probably instead of kicking the field goal there, the coach decides to go for it.
Yeah, fourth and two, you already have a ton of plays for that scenario because that's what a two-point conversion would be. So they have plenty of stuff drawn up for that situation.
What do you guys think about the coach deciding to kick the field goal there? You think that's the decision you should make in that spot? You think you got Aaron Rodgers, it's the championship game, you go for it?
I mean, I think you go for it, but I don't blame the coach either, trying to make it a one-score game, make it 8 points.
Well, the field goal made it five.
Yeah, you're right.
They were down eight at that point, and that's where it's a little bit questionable. So you get the field goal, that means if you get the next six, you win. But
the thing is that if you don't get it, if you kick the field goal and you kick the ball back to Brady, you're taking the chance that Brady does what he does.
Yeah, so either way, your defense needs to stop Tampa Bay. I'd rather be trying to stop them on the 2 yard line if I don't make it than, you know, them having the ball at midfield.
Or even the eight.
Yeah, I mean, space. Yeah. and space there. So.
Yeah, I agree. I thought they should have went for it. But, you know, Tampa Bay pulls it out, and now they're in the Super Bowl.
Tom Brady's in his 10th Super Bowl.
Amazing. Amazing. So the 6:30 game was the Buffalo Bills at the Kansas City Chiefs, Hookies Kansas City Chiefs, and the Chiefs win that one kind of handily.
The Chiefs were a 3.5-point favorite, and they covered big time.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I heard a lot of talk from Buffalo pre-game and didn't really hear anything afterwards. I don't know where all the Buffalo Bill fans went.
You're right there. Yeah. They kind of got embarrassed, in my opinion. You know, I mean, really, because a lot of people had them winning the game.
Yeah. Josh Allen was shown to be kind of obviously a large step behind Patrick Mahomes there.
Well, yeah, but that's, you know, that's unfair. Come on. Patrick Mahomes is obviously the top quarterback in the NFL right now, in my opinion, regardless of Rodgers' season.
That's obvious to me, but that wasn't the conversation going into the game.
I got you.
Right. I think Buffalo needs to establish some sort of a solid running game. Oh, they can't just leave it all on the shoulders of their quarterback.
He is their running game right now.
Yes, yeah. They need to establish. I think they need at least one offensive lineman and a real solid running back to complement Allen and to help him take that next step.
How much of a loss do you think it was to not have Moss in the game? Because you know that was one big part of their running game.
Right,
going to have one.
Right, but I just think that to his credit. Got to give him credit. He took a huge step forward this year. He really did, and it was exemplified all through the season. Yes, he did get away with some bad throws and things all season long, but he took a huge step forward maturity-wise and in refining his skills, being an over 70% passer almost all year long, and he just is not as good as Patrick Mahomes. But then again, I don't think anyone else in the NFL is as good
as
Patrick Mahomes.
It's unfair to compare. It really is unfair to compare.
So, I think Buffalo will do well to try to put a couple more pieces on defense, maybe another piece in the offensive line, and a solid running game.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to, they can do a lot of, they could be a better version of Tennessee. Tennessee is a run-first team, but if Tannehill was a better all-around quarterback like Allen is, I think that's a team that could potentially challenge Kansas City and maybe on a given day beat them.
But Buffalo also settled a lot in the game. They settled for a lot of field goals instead of, like we were talking about with the Green Bay play, Buffalo got down to the red zone a few times and it took the field goals, including right at halftime. Your thoughts on that, Hook?
The one right before halftime, I would have probably taken if I were Buffalo to just know you have points going in and have
and Kansas City gets the ball back.
Those positive vibes, you know, that you just did something successful going into halftime. There were some other situations where maybe you go for it instead, even at a longer down and distance. But
the game was different than the Week 6 game where Buffalo just sold out trying to defend the pass, and they let Kansas City run the ball for 260-some yards, I believe. And it was interesting. This time they didn't really do that. This time they chose to not let them run it at will. And Kansas City just had their way, period.
Pat started having his way with them right from the beginning, and they were trying to take that approach, but they figured that's not working again. We're going to have to try to send some blitzers on them, and that didn't work either.
But the thing I take out of this game, and just about every game Kansas City plays now, is just the amazing amount of weapons they have and how they use them. I mean, Andy Reid, and I don't know how much credit to give Bieniemy, but the design of the offense and how they get these guys to be wide open on plays, and Mahomes just putting the ball right where it needs to be. They're amazing to watch. They really are. So I'm intrigued about this matchup, which we'll talk about more next week.
Agreed.
So.
All right. Well, I'd like to broach a subject with you guys.
Before you do that, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I wanted to just give you the standings.
Okay.
So for the week, Dan, you're 1-1. Hookie, you're 1-1. Brandon, you're 1-1. And the reason you're all 1-1 is because I'm the only one who believed in Tampa Bay. So Frank was 2-0, this guy right here.
So we found paid off the refs.
That's right.
On that last
That's right. Ball. And I'm boasting because I was horrible during the season. So for the playoffs right now, I'm 9-3. Hookie and Brandon, 8-4. Dan, you're 7-5. So we'll see how the picks go for the Super Bowl and whether I can dominate the playoff scenario.
All right. So we have Adam Schefter, who's a well-known quote-unquote insider for the NFL on ESPN. He put out an article on January 25th, and the article is about the different quarterbacks in the NFL and how this might be an off-season of unprecedented movement. He tweeted, there are roughly 10 quarterbacks locked into starting jobs for opening day of the 2021 NFL season. This is expected to be an unprecedented offseason of quarterback movement. My over-under of teams changing quarterbacks this offseason is 18, and I'll go with the over. So remember, there's 32 teams in the NFL, and that would be 18 would be two-thirds, two out of every three NFL teams changing quarterbacks this offseason, if he's right at 18.
Yeah, I've got 14 on my list that are realistic.
So here's Adam Schefter's list. He says the players that very well could be on the move this offseason are Deshaun Watson from the Houston Texans, Aaron Rodgers for the Green Bay Packers. He had haunting quotes after the game about his future in Green Bay.
It's going nowhere.
Matthew Stafford, Aaron and Shauna, shout out. Victor. And up there in Detroit, Dakota Prescott down in Dallas. Sam Darnold in Jetland, the J-E-T-S, Jets. And that we already know about Carson Wentz and his uncertainty in Philadelphia. Even the new coach refused to be, was completely non-committal about him. The Eagles have hired a new head coach. Jared Goff, much to a lot of people's surprise, the Rams refused to be committed to him. Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy G, has had a real up and down experience in San Francisco, and there's a possibility he may be shown the door. Cam Newton up there in New England. It looks like he's being shown the door. Teddy Bridgewater, that one surprised me a little bit. Thought he played pretty well there in Carolina for a number of games, especially without Christian McCaffrey. Mitch Trubisky, Tim Pine, your Chicago Bears, and Mitch Trubisky. Jameis Winston, famous Jameis with his crab legs, might be on the move. Mm-hmm. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic, might be taking his magic show somewhere else to yet another team. Alex Smith, his contract is over there with the Washington football team, and he could be very well on the move. And it looks like the Pittsburgh Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger might have him on the move. So, I mean, that's an awful lot of quarterback chaos and quarterback movement in the NFL. And each one of those is at least some level of uncertain.
I feel like he reached on a lot of these guys. I really do. I don't see Bridgewater moving. Winston's a backup. So what? Maybe he'll find a home. I don't know. Alex Smith, I'm not sure he'll even want to play with the leg being what it is. And I think Washington's going to bring a quarterback in, so if he's there, it'll be a backup. Roethlisberger's going nowhere. In fact, he even just said he's willing to play for pennies.
Yeah, but the ownership of the Steelers said that they don't believe he's telling the truth.
Okay, well, we'll see about that.
That's why he's uncertain.
I didn't hear that, but you know, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't hold on to him. And Goff, I'm not big on him. But I'm not seeing them being moved unless they go grab one of these big quarterbacks. So I guess that could be possible. But I don't believe that those particular players are going anywhere myself.
Okay. But. Hook?
Yeah, this is what the kids just call gassing it. This is what you hear before every trade deadline, every offseason, that all these moves are going to happen. And you sit and wait. And maybe there's one big move. But for the most part, these teams wheeling and dealing, four-team trade type scenarios don't happen. And so, I mean, Aaron Rodgers isn't going anywhere. I'd be surprised if Deshaun Watson went anywhere, even with demanding a trade, because there are contracts involved in this.
Well, not only contracts, but there's also salary cap implications.
Yep, absolutely.
If if the Texans move off Deshaun Watson, almost $40 million instantly accelerates into this year of the cap. That's a huge hit. The same Aaron Rodgers, almost $50 million accelerates up into the cap. I've heard several people say that they think this is posturing on Rodgers' point to try to get an extension and get more money.
I agree with that.
Stafford, it looks like he's going to be
It looks like Stafford will move.
Yeah, but he's gone.
But Detroit isn't just letting him walk. Detroit is wanting something in return for him.
To trade him, yeah.
So
he's got takers, though.
I don't think Dak is going anywhere.
No.
Because I think Dallas is committed to signing him. I disagree with that, but I think that Dallas is going to sign him and ruin their cap for the next 5 years. Sam Darnold, I think he's staying because the new coach, Salah, he is saying that he is really impressed with what he's seen from Sam Darnold.
Well, yeah, because that gives him value.
Carson Wentz accelerates $42 million into the cap if he's moved.
He's not going anywhere because they want him.
Jared Goff.
That's the reason they got rid of their coach.
Jared Goff accelerates $37 million into the cap. Even Jimmy G accelerates $25 million into the cap.
I could see New England grabbing him, though.
Yeah, but is San Francisco willing to eat the $25 million? It's one thing.
They have to, regardless?
Yes, if they move it.
By a certain point. If they trade him by a certain point, they still have to pay?
If this is signing bonus money that's spread over the life of the contract that accelerates up if you move the player. If you cut him or move him, that money accelerates up.
It's hard to imagine them eating that.
And the idea is that with these cap hits make these moves prohibitive, and it's not that just yes you do have to pay that money, but then you still have to pay another quarterback to come in and play for you, so you have to add the cost of the new quarterback to it. And are you willing to bite that bullet and pay that price? Teddy Bridgewater just signed a 3-year, 30-something million deal. No, more than 30. It was like $60 million something deal, paying him 20-something mil a year. And that, like, 25 of that accelerates up if they do some. Trubisky will be a free agent. Winston will be a free agent. Fitzpatrick's a free agent. Smith's a free agent. And Roethlisberger has one more year on his deal. He's not a crippling cap situation if they move from him.
With all these other big names we're talking about, Fitzpatrick isn't even relevant in my mind. He's going to go somewhere and be the backup like always. So I don't even throw him in the mix. But
Played pretty well this year for Miami.
He did. But on my list here, I mean, I have Stafford going to a lot of different places. I think he has a lot of value and teams would want him. He's still young enough. He could go to a team that's on the cusp, you know, a Washington, right? Which we know they have a really good defense. He would help them a lot. So I think he's the most likely of all of them to be moved. I mean, New England, I could see them grabbing Stafford. There's a few teams. Detroit has to. They've already made it clear that they're going to trade him. So that kind of, I don't know. I don't know if that puts them in a vulnerable situation now, because now teams know that they have to get rid of him.
And what's interesting, much to Aaron and Rodgers' chagrin, Patricia was snapped right back up by the Patriots, coaching their defense again.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, the only way I think that Darnold leaves is if the Jets pull off a trade and Watson absolutely demands he wants out of Houston, which I'm not really believing is going to happen. But if he does, the Jets are the most likely suitor. They have the assets to give away. They would have the cap room, and they would just obviously – I don't know that they would just trade their quarterback right back to Houston or not, or whether they'd even want Darnold. But I think the Jets are the likely suitor, and I believe that Watson said he'd love to go there. So they're the most likely team if Watson's traded to me. In fact, they might be the only team where Watson would go, as I see it.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. And
it's going to be fun.
Because almost every one of these players, I know Hook said that this is just building up the hype and stuff for the offseason and stuff, but in almost every one of these situations, there's been a very outspokenly negative thing said by one part or the other regarding the player. Either the player has said stuff about the organization or the organization has said stuff about the player. I think this is more than just the smoke of the beginning of the offseason.
There obviously will be moves, but when Schefter wants to say he's taking the over on 18, let's see you actually put money on
that. He reached on like, a lot of these guys.
There's definitely, and that's what, there's some truth to it, which makes people click on it, but the reality is you're not getting 18 different teams.
Depending on where some guys go, you could have a chain reaction kind of situation that could make Schefter's comments come true.
I think 10 is realistic.
Yeah.
I wouldn't argue that. Here's my intriguing one. New Orleans, what are they going to do? Like, after watching Taysom Hill play this year, I don't see them making him their starting quarterback. My thought is they're going to be after one of these guys, maybe even Stafford. I would imagine Sean Payton wouldn't mind working with a guy like Stafford. So I'm curious what they're going to do, and that would have a chain reaction effect. Obviously, Winston's going to leave regardless, I think. And what happens with Taysom Hill, right? Does he just stay the backup? So it could be kind of interesting to see what happens there for me. Also, another likely spot for Watson has been said to be Miami, where they would just give them Tua back. So that would be kind of interesting, too.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him stay in Houston and see what they, if they can just rebuild it and so on. It's kind of an interesting story, too, how they hired a coach at 65 years old. I mean, you got Eric Bieniemy sitting there waiting to be a head coach. So not sure what to think of that.
Yep. The Houston's new coach was the wide receiver coach of the Chiefs the year the Chiefs wide receivers did not score a single touchdown.
Yeah, under Smith.
Yep.
But, so it will be fascinating to see how it all goes.
Okay, because as quarterbacks go, so goes the league. The league knows that their most precious commodity is a quarterback. That's why they go so far to protect them and showcase them.
Yeah, it might be fun to watch. The draft might be interesting as trades go back and forth.
The draft is always interesting.
I mean, from a trading standpoint.
So, all right. So we have a few Super Bowl trivia questions. I'm only going to do half of them here this week, save the other half for next week. We have about 10 minutes left here in the show. So
it's all Dallas and Kansas City?
No, it is not. Question number one. What team has played in 4 Super Bowls but never held a lead in any of the 4 Super Bowls?
I would guess Buffalo.
I'm going to go with Minnesota.
It is the Minnesota Vikings. The Buffalo actually was beating Dallas at halftime. Exactly. Both times Dallas played them.
They were beating them in the first one, too, when they lost 52-17. They scored
remember,
first.
They lost on the last-minute kick, Norwood wide right.
Went and took their steroids in the
That's right.
locker room.
Hey, I'll
halftime.
Take the ring.
Okay, you should know this one. What two teams have won the most Super Bowls?
Kansas City.
And New England. New England is number one.
If this question is 10 years from now, it's Kansas City.
And Pittsburgh is the other.
Yes, it's Pittsburgh and New England with 6 championships each. What teams haven't appeared in a single Super Bowl? There are 1, 2, 3, 4.
Cleveland.
Detroit, what?
2.
Detroit, right. Jacksonville.
3.
Jaguars.
Not Carolina.
Carolina has been there.
So 3 of them. Cleveland, Jacksonville, Detroit.
76ers.
think Texas.
I don't want
yeah,
to.
Yeah, the Houston.
Houston Texans.
Thank you for the tip.
I don't like to think about Texas.
That's 3 of them right away.
Okay, what team has participated in the most Super Bowl games?
Dallas has been to 8. So they're one of them. And New England's been to what?
Does hosting it count?
11. New England's been to 11. Dallas has been to 8.
New England's been to 9.
9?
Yeah, because this is... Oh, no, they've been to 10 because they had the one...
They've been to 11 because they were to 2 before Brady. Yes.
Okay. All right, so you're right, 11. Yeah. How much does the Vince Lombardi trophy weigh?
How much does a hen weigh?
Just take a guess. How much does the Vince
What's
Lombardi...
What's a hen weigh?
25 pounds.
Okay, 25.
I'll bite. Are you saying that for the trophy?
Yes, 25.
Or how much a hen weighs?
I think a hen's less than 25 pounds. I mean, I can throw them pretty far.
I'm going to go heavier. I'm going to say 32 pounds.
It is 7 pounds.
Really? Because they always make it look so heavy when they carry it.
It is. I think it's because it's precious.
Like, and they're tired from the game.
Well, they always have like an ex-player carrying it. I figured it must be heavy because they look like they're straining.
What famous jewelry company makes the Vince Lombardi
Tiffany.
It is Tiffany & Company. Okay, what two cities have hosted the most Super Bowl games?
Los Angeles. I was going to say Los Angeles and New Orleans.
Orleans is one.
And Miami.
Miami is the other.
Good guess.
Yeah. It's not a guess. I just know. I'm a doctor.
You should know this. Which player has the most Super Bowl rings in history?
Which player?
Yeah, that's easy. He played defensive end. He played for Dallas and San Francisco. Oh, he's not the one?
He's a player.
It's even simpler.
Oh, wait a minute. It's Brady.
It's Tom Brady.
He's a player?
I don't count. The answer to that always used to be Haley.
Yeah, it used to be Charles.
I don't count half of Brady's rings, though.
Haley has five. Charles Haley has five. He won two with San Francisco and three with Dallas. Brady had six.
Yeah, I forgot Brady had six.
I'd look into that further.
He's 0-3 against the NFC East.
What team has only ever won one Super Bowl?
No, there's only one team that's done that?
Only one team has done
Philadelphia.
That. No. Well, yes, Philadelphia would be one. Apparently this was made before.
So we can't trust any of this.
I'm sorry, two. Listen. Two of them. Two teams have only won one Super Bowl.
You should have stopped the podcast 6 minutes ago.
The Saints are the other one. The Saints are the other one. They've only won one.
This says the Rams.
Okay, they've won more. They've won one, but so are the Saints.
It depends on where they're located.
That thing must have been written in, like,
Well, no, because they didn't win a Super. The Rams didn't win a Super Bowl when they were in Cleveland because
they won before the Super Bowl. They won in St. Louis.
Right.
Only have one too.
Yeah, you're right. What was the first wild card team to make it all the way and win the Super Bowl?
I know this.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
I definitely know this.
I feel like Pittsburgh did it once.
It's an NFC team.
I don't know if they're the first.
Man, I know this.
Gonna need your answer, Frank.
I give up.
It is the Oakland Raiders.
They beat Philly. Yes, that's right. Yeah,
that year they were the first wild card team.
I'm getting old because I used to know that.
Who holds the record for most passing yards in the Super Bowl?
I don't know, but his arms are probably tired.
Tom Brady in a losing cause.
Tom, terrific.
Yeah, that's the Philly game he lost.
Who was the first left-handed quarterback to get a Super Bowl ring?
Kenny Stabler.
It was Kenny the Snake Stabler. Which starting quarterback won Super Bowls with two different teams?
I heard this recently, and I forget.
We know Peyton Manning is one of them.
According to this, Peyton Manning's the only one.
Up to now. That'll change this year. Whoops.
Frank's giving a hint to his pick. Two more questions.
Maybe I am.
I'm really interested in hearing your take. I doubt you're going to get them.
Okay.
But how many chicken wings were consumed last year on Super Bowl Sunday?
By me or by the country?
How many? By the whole country.
1.2 million.
Who?
Consumed chicken wings.
Yes.
400,000.
1.3 billion.
Oh, billion, okay.
Billion chicken wings were consumed on Super Bowl Sunday last
year.
Now,
I think I consumed about 100,000.
Are they counting boneless wings?
I don't know.
Because those aren't actually the wings of a chicken.
Chicken wings, boneless wings is a farce. How can a chicken walk without bones?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
They're chicken nuggets. They just don't want to call them chicken
nuggets. If that's part of the number, that would throw you off.
No such thing as boneless wings.
Okay, now, how much money did Americans spend on a beer for Super Bowl Sunday last year?
Me or the nation?
1.3 billion.
Hook?
Well, a wing is about $1 a wing. So you're in the billions there. But beer, I'm going to go closer to 2 billion.
Frank hit it right on the head. $1.3 billion.
I figured why not take a shot.
Was spent on beer last year.
Wow.
A shot and a beer?
And guess what? None of it was spent by me.
It's true. Okay, so.
Pretty good, Dan. Pretty good.
We want to thank you for listening. We'll have a few more trivia questions next week.
Next time, send them to me so I can double check that they're accurate.
And send them to me so I know what the answers are.
That was the joke.
So just want to thank you, everybody, for listening to this fine podcast. Thank you for putting up with us and you're being loyal listeners. Share Fox and Frank with someone this week.
Let it be noted that Dan is wearing gloves during the podcast.
Email the show.
Even though the heater's going.
Yes, that sound in the background is the heater. So
it's all good. It's freezing in here.
Someone broke in and stole the heat from the Fox Brothers warehouse.
I want to thank Hook for joining us. I want to thank our friend Rich always for all that he does, making us look and sound
You're
great,
the man, Rich.
Pushing all the right buttons. And want to turn it back to my friend Frank.
All right. As always, we finish up with May the Love of Christ. Whoops. That's right. We got to do a little
shout
plug
out.
For our church.
Shout out.
My mistake. First Baptist Church. We are located in Phillipsburg, New Jersey at 810 Red School Lane. And we just want to let you know that we have in-person services on Sunday, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. We've taken all the precautions. We have taped off some of the pews so that, you know, you're socially distanced. We hand you a mask when you walk in, so we'd love to see you there. Or we also are online. You can catch us on Facebook. You just go on there and you like our page. Go to you go on Facebook and just punch in First Baptist Church of Phillipsburg and our webpage will come up. There you can watch the service. Or you can watch it on YouTube. We're on there too. Same thing. You just punch in the name of our church, First Baptist Church Phillipsburg. We also want to let you know that our church has a website. It's www.fbcpburg.org. And on there, you'll see everything there is to know about our church, including, you can go on there and you can watch the services too. There's a link. But check us out. We'd love to see you there on Sunday.
Yeah, real nice group of people taking all the precautions and all going out of our way for safety and responsibility in these uncertain times.
You never know. Hookie might be giving the sermon. And it might happen someday.
Well, it happens. It does.
That's what I'm saying. When you come, it might so happen.
And if you're so inclined, on the website, if you look in the archives of the sermons, Hookie's on there a couple times.
So see him preach.
Yeah. So
that's Dr. Hookie to you.
Without any further ado, we want to thank you for being part of this. And please email us. We'd love to hear from you. Frank?
Now I'd like to say, may the love of Christ fill your heart.
Peace!
Football, baseball, tennis, basketball, even sports exotic.
Oh.
You geek guys in soccer, and if it's a sport, they've got it.
Yeah.
They have weird conversations about anything they think.
Oh.
They have so much in common, it's like their brains are in sync.
Twins.
We got Fox with the jokes. We got Frank with the knowledge.
Oh.
They care about all ages. They talk about Brolin College.
Is.
They have that high quality content talking about the teams with their big boy shoes and their big boy dreams on.
Yeah, you know who it is. Sports Fellowship. Number one. Follow Fox and Frank now.